You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And I've been in Springfield this week to see what the governor had to say during his State of the State address. Joining me on the line is Leader Lou Lang. How you doing, Lou?
I'm great. Hi, Patty.
Wonderful to hear you tonight. And also, I want to let you know, joining me in studio is Todd Belcour, who I think you're familiar with.
I am. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Leader?
he's a little bit nervous. I feel bad because he's a little nervous. And you have to come join us in studio when it's convenient for you, sir.
I will do that.
Excellent. So let's just, first of all, what were your impressions of the State of the State address? What was going through a Leader Lou's mind at the time?
Well, as I commented that day, I think the governor tried his best to be less combative, maybe a little more conciliatory, but in the end, it was just different words saying the same thing. We still don't have a budget, and we still have the same reason, which is we have a governor who doesn't want to do the budget until we check off a list of political agenda items that he has. In the meantime, while he's doing that, kids in need aren't getting services. College kids who have MAP grants coming to them aren't getting those grants, and they're dropping out of school because they can't pay for it. Universities are in real trouble. One or two of them may actually close. Mental health services, senior services aren't being delivered. In short, a big mess. And there, in that 35 minutes, he said really not one word about the actual budget, which is the number one thing we must accomplish every year in the state of Illinois. So he left us with the same mess he started with.
Now, you mentioned the MAP grants. I know that was something that you were working on in the House yesterday. Did that pass and is now going to the governor?
It is on the governor's desk, but I fully expect him to veto it. The Republicans in the House, and I assume in the Senate as well, commented that they didn't like the bill. And they said, well, we're for MAP grants. We're just not for these MAP grants. And my position is that we have a responsibility. We have a state where we have a leader who has told us that he wants to create jobs, he wants to lift people out of poverty, he wants to improve education, and yet kids are dropping out of school left and right because of the governor's stubbornness on these issues, and something's got to give soon, or there's going to be even more pain to the state of Illinois.
Well, if he says that he's ready to, in good, with respect to each other, he said that we have to work with respect to each other. It seems like passing this legislation for the MAP grants to be restored would be, a move in the right direction. I don't understand. What was it that the other side of the aisle found distasteful about this particular bill?
What they're really saying is we don't have enough money to pay for it at the moment.
Okay.
Because we don't have a budget. But I think if we can't put a whole budget together, we better piece a budget together piece by piece of the items that we know we must do. Everyone in the General Assembly knows we have to take care of the MAP grants. We can't let hundreds and thousands of our kids drop out of school. There are second semester seniors who will not graduate because we don't have MAP grants for them. That's almost criminal.
Well, when I spoke to a representative last year, right at the beginning of my visits to Springfield back in April, he told me that everyone's going to have to make sacrifices. And as far as I can tell so far, the groups that have sacrificed the most have been the most vulnerable. And now we're going to students who will now not be able to graduate. When is it everybody? I mean, what would it take for people to go, hey, wait a minute, everybody needs to start cooperating? We're not getting our notices to renew our license plate stickers. That's about the only thing that seems to be across the board. And even then, that's not bothering anybody.
Well, there's a whole bunch of people in Illinois who do very well every day, who don't need state services directly. Maybe their kids go to public schools, but the public school budget was signed by the governor. And so a lot of people don't care. And the people who do care and the people that are really being hurt don't have lobbyists representing them. They don't have people running around Springfield banging the drums. There's a whole bunch of members in the Illinois General Assembly that want to do a budget, but you can't negotiate a budget when the leader of your state is unwilling to negotiate one. And so we hear from a lot of people who say, you got to do this, you got to do this. I remind them that we did pass a budget. We passed a budget in May. The governor chose to veto that budget. He could have amendatorily vetoed it. In other words, if he thought we spent too much money, he could have taken out a red pen and made that budget anything he wanted it to be. But instead, he chose to veto the entire budget except for the elementary education portion. Interesting, the governor, when asked a couple of weeks ago what he thought his most important accomplishment in his first year in office might be. He said it was the education budget, which is great because the only votes he got in the education budget were Democratic votes. He told the Republicans to vote no, and they did. So in the Illinois House, there were no Republican votes for the budget piece that the governor signed that he said was his most important accomplishment in office. So that says a lot about his stewardship of the state.
Why would that be his goal, is to have for show that the Republicans voted against something that he ultimately sought, to show that he is bipartisan, can work with both sides of the aisle? Look, I did something with the Democrats.
No, that wasn't it at all. It's just that he didn't want school to start in September and have hundreds of schools shut down for lack of funding, and he didn't want to wear the jacket for that. And so for political reasons, he had the other side of the aisle vote against the budget. Democrats voted for the education budget, and he signed it. And now he's called that his most significant accomplishment. And if you think about that for a second, you want to scratch your head a little bit.
What is the, what are the prospects? Because you told us last week, and I'm guessing they haven't improved since the State Address. You would not be surprised, I believe, if we did not get a budget during the entire term that Governor Rauner is in office.
Certainly, that would be unfortunate, but it is possible. As I think you know, over 90% of our budget is being paid out by court order. So take the Department of Children and Family Services, for instance, the agency that takes care of wards of the state. There's a court order requiring we pay that money. And so up and down the line, there are court orders. But there's so many things that those court orders don't cover. It doesn't cover higher education or the MAP grants. It doesn't cover autism, epilepsy, mental health, adult daycare, drug addiction. There's a whole swath of things it doesn't cover. But, of course, those folks don't have the lobbyists in Springfield. Those folks don't have any political sway, particularly with the governor of the state of Illinois. He proved that again today when the administration decided to reject all of the new conditions proposed by the advisory board to add to the medical marijuana program. He rejected PTSD, rejected all sorts newly proposed medical conditions so that the sickest of the sick in Illinois can get a little help from the state. And I thought that was a callous approach.
Were those proposed, the expansion of medical conditions, was that something that was presented by the General Assembly, or was that something that came across his desk in a different manner?
The law we passed a couple of years ago put 39 conditions into the law, but then we created an advisory board, and that advisory board meets twice a year. They hear testimony from people who have certain other medical conditions that they wanted to add. And the law provides that the advisory board hears the testimony, makes recommendations to the state, and the state would determine whether those are approved. So the advisory board has now met twice in the last year. Many conditions, I think 11 or 12 in total, some of them overlapped between the two hearings, were proposed. All of them have been rejected, even though there was not a shred of evidence or testimony against the addition of these new conditions. They were rejected by the state. And when they were rejected, they were rejected with the statement that it's too early to add these. And so I would pose the question, if it's too early to add them, why did they let the advisory board meet in the first place? Why did they waste their time and wait 180 days to then reject them so that our veterans, for instance, who come back from war protecting us and have come back with PTSD, who desperately need this product, can't have it?
Hey, Leader Lou, I got a question from one of our callers, Rich, who didn't want to stay on the phone, and then he got kind of angry and upset. He says he's curious if WGN just wants to talk with liberal people. He's accusing us of being one-sided.
Representative David Harris,
not.
Who retired as a major general and as a Mount Prospect, was on last night.
Yeah,
we had
night.
John Cabello on, who originally from Texas and has served for 20 years in the police department and is on leave from the Rockford Police Department, serving as a Republican in the House of Representatives. So
we are not.
We've
we
also had Senator
sides.
Michael Connelly on the show.
And so. Rich, even though you weren't totally happy when you were talking to me, your question is still going to get on the air. So here you go. Who has been running the state for the last 30 years? This comes from Rich. And what were the shortfalls in the previous budget that you think might have caused some of the issues? Rich seems to think there was some.
Well, you know, until Rod Blagojevich became governor, we had had 30 years in a row of Republican governors. And then we had Blagojevich and Quinn, and now we have Governor Rauner. Plenty of blame to go around, plenty of issues to talk about. But, you know, it's not really constructive to talk about what we should have done 20 years ago, what we should have done 30 years ago, what we should have done 5 years ago. What is constructive is to put our energy into figuring out why we don't have a budget today, who's responsible for that, and then get the people necessary to get the budget moving forward. But what we will not do is just simply succumb to the governor holding his breath till he turns blue. We will not succumb to political blackmail, and we will not throw the people of the state of Illinois under the bus simply because the governor has a political agenda.
So I hope that answers Rich's question. And also, Rich, you're always welcome to come on the air, and I'm more than happy to talk about who I have on the show. Leader Lou, you were hesitant to come on. I'll be honest. I had to convince him, Todd, because I consider you to be somebody who is important in the House of Representatives. I've talked to many of your colleagues on both sides of the aisle and in the Senate. So I don't, you know, I'm having the conversation, and I consider you to be somebody who's well-informed and has a point of view. So I appreciate your time, Leader Lou. Did Rich just call back again?
He did. I actually asked the question verbatim the way he said it, but he called back to tell me that I didn't ask it correctly.
Oh.
He wanted to make sure.
He wanted to sound angry.
Yeah. Well, and Rich, you also were offered the chance to go on air, my friend.
Yeah.
You could ask the question yourself. 312-981-7200.
Bring it, Rich.
Right. Rich said that his actual question was that the Democrats were in charge of the state for the last 30 or so years. He means, I guess, the legislator downstate. And the budgets that they passed were problems that even if Republican governors and whatnot were involved in, it was the Democrats' fault for all the shortfalls that he thinks existed in the previous
budget.
And
I believe Leader Lou answered that question.
He
said that we don't have time right now to go over what happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We're dealing with the right now and people struggling and, you know, people dying, as a matter of fact.
And I would just like to point out one more time, your opinion got in the air.
So there you go. And you know, even though we're laughing at it because you didn't have the balls to say it yourself. So I'm just saying, you want it word for word, come on the air and say it to our ears. We're right here.
I feel like Rich is going to call back.
Yeah. We haven't seen the last of Rich.
Leader Lou, Todd's he hasn't been in this situation. Todd and I have hung out several times in the Capitol, and I think he's seeing a different side, and yet the same side, wouldn't you say, Todd?
Yes. I didn't think it would translate to the air so crisply.
Yeah, you didn't think I was going to be able to do that? Yeah.
And
you know what? After 10 p.m., I've had it sometimes. Well, Leader Lou, you get that a lot. You get a lot of Michael Madigan controls the state. It's his fault that we're in this position, that he's accumulated this kind of power. He scares people. He intimidates them to vote. And you mentioned last week, not every Democrat votes lockstep with what Michael Madigan introduces to the House or other, as well as your other colleagues.
Well, that's absolutely true. So I think it's fair to say that for the most part, most of the Republicans in the House think alike. There are some variants, but for the most part, they think alike. And certainly all summer, fall, and winter, they've been voting alike. Democrats are a little harder to herd. They're a little harder to get in a circle. And for the Republicans who always say, well, you guys always follow Mike Madigan, but then they say in the next sentence, well, if you guys want to do it, why don't you do it on your own? Pick a side. You know, you can't have both of those things going on at the same time. You can't demand that we do it all ourselves and then be upset that Mike Madigan leads us in a direction. Democrats in the House, Democrats in the Senate under President Cullerton have very strong opinions about issues. We argue with our leaders on a regular basis. And for all of the complaints about Speaker Madigan, most of them are spurious and a waste of energy because he's a fantastic leader. I think a lot of people think that when you've been in power in a leadership position as long as he has, that means automatically that there's something wrong with you. We elect him our leader. We're proud of him as our leader. So I hate to see where we'd be today without a strong leader with Governor Rauner acting the way he is in Springfield.
Rob, did you have a question? I wasn't sure if you were going for your button.
Well, I'm just... I listen to this Representative Lang, and I asked this question yesterday of a guest that Patty had on, and I talked about ground zero. And I hear from both sides how we need to stop, you know, talking over each other and past each other and start talking with each other. Where is ground zero? Because what I get from the Democratic side of the aisle are these values that can't be compromised, and we can't succumb to this evil Republican governor that we have currently in the state. And then the same on the Republican side. Well, you know, we need to go ahead and get this pro-agenda, you know, pro-business agenda put forth in order for us to be healthier economically and for everybody to grow as a state. Where's ground zero here for you? Because, I listen, and the tenor, I got to tell you, Representative Lang, the tenor coming from you tonight is awfully combative. And I think that's what's really annoying people these days.
Actually, I'm not being combative at all. I'm just simply trying to be honest.
Well, look, you just said that you like to argue with Democrats in the House. So you're telling me that if I go through the last 12 years of Republican votes in the Senate and the House, they will have voted 100% with what their leadership tells them to do? They have no debate? They don't have forums? They don't go back and forth with each other?
I didn't say over the last 12 years.
Well, I'm just,
that's where we are right now. In the overtime session, there's virtually 47 votes against everything we propose. MAP grants yesterday, all opposed. The education budget, all opposed. Fixing child care that the governor wanted to cut, all opposed. Not one single Republican has voted with the Democratic side on any single issue since the overtime session has begun. So, this is important to say. We passed a budget. The governor had all opportunities he needed to fix that budget any way he wanted to. That's what the Constitution gives the governor as a power. It's an important power. It's a power that can be abused. The governor chose not even to use that power, but to put us into this turmoil. Our responsibility is to get a budget done. That is our single most important responsibility. It's more important than the governor's turnaround agenda. And there will be those that argue that some of the items on the governor's turnaround agenda are critical to the improvement of the state of Illinois. I don't necessarily agree, but I would tell you this. Even if I did agree, I wouldn't put that turnaround agenda ahead of the budget. The budget must be done.
And there you go. Leader Lou, we appreciate your time. And I'm going to see you in a couple weeks. I'm coming down for the budget address on February 17th. Is that the correct date?
Yes, I think it is. I don't have my calendar in front of me, but I think that is the right
date. I need you to know these things by heart. I'm just teasing you. I wish you a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you again before the budget address and see how things are going.
Everybody have a great night.
You too. Thank you so much, sir. More after this on 720 WGN.